best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Hour number two of our Saturday morning extravaganza, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville 101, with Jackson Boone. He drives, he smiles, he's got a nice beard going there. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, thanks for doing this. I come to Roy's Meat Service, okay? And it actually, I think it's your garage,
yeah.
and Roy's Meat Services has some stuff that they put around out here.
Yeah, you
there's
that.
Roy's, there's Boone Racing stuff everywhere.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. It puts it into perspective, like, you know, all the crazy stuff that's happened to me, you know, with racing, and I look at, you know, all the ups and downs we've had, and you get so caught up in, you know, your success and all that, and then you walk into a place like here and I see my picture and parts of my car hanging all over the wall, my t-shirts, and I'm like, this is just, I mean, this is something I've dreamed of, you know.
Well, the hood of your car is out front, right?
Did you
know that? The hood of your car is out front?
Okay. So we donated that actually after our first season of them sponsoring us, and it's been here since then.
Well, shout out to Jeff Roy and Christy Roy. I know they're big with what you're
Absolutely.
Doing and supporting you, got the Nashville Cats involved with you. You know, full disclosure here, the Cats were on your car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and with our logo, so appreciate that, and your dad.
Man.
All right, let's get it. Let's don't bury the lead. Where are we today? All right, give me what you're doing today, because I know you're not running a full late model, but where are you?
Yeah, so right now we're basically – for those, you know, who haven't, you know, I guess, followed along much or don't know much about the racing, is we have two cars that we run, which is Pro Late Model and Super Late Model. The Pro is what we predominantly run here in Nashville. The Super is what we travel with. And we do run the Super here a little bit, too. But the biggest thing is, you know, we've been trying to put together funding, obviously, you know, the last, I would say, 2 years. We had a sponsor drop out in 2024, and we've always been, what I would say is kind of like a, you know, we've had all these little support beams around us, and then we've got this one pillar in the middle that kind of supports our roof. That's how we've always raced.
The foundation.
Foundation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we lost that in 2024. And, you know, we haven't really been, you know, we've been in that situation before. I've lost my racing before. But, you know, we've never really been in that situation where, like, we have literally had to dig up every single new relationship that we can dig up just to keep the car on the track. So, you know, we've been through a lot of setbacks and adversity this season and last season. Last season was awful. I mean, it was one of probably the worst seasons of my entire life. But, you know, we've dealt with a lot of personal adversity and, you know, not just at the track, but, you know, away from the track. So, you know, we've had to put together a lot of work. And, you know, I know my dad, he's supporting our family full time, but you know, in any time that he has that's not work, he's working on sponsorship. So it's crazy to think about. But right now, basically, to answer your question, we've had, let's see here, we've run 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 4 or 5 races this year, and I think 5 races. So, and 3 of them have been opportunities that I've gotten from other people, just because, you know, we haven't had the funding to do it. So, all those opportunities have been awesome, and we're working towards just trying to race more. I just want to race more. Hopefully next season we're running a full season.
Well, and you won last time out,
right?
I mean, that's that's the reward, right? Absolutely. It's all about, you know, everybody wants to win, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Winning cures a lot of things.
Winning cures a lot of things. And actually, my crew chief, he says that a lot.
Who's your crew chief?
Well, Jamie Yelton. So, okay. You know, he's always said.
You better get your shout-outs in.
Say, oh, I'm absolutely going to.
Yeah, I mean, I need all your sponsors.
Yeah,
I'll just take a nap. So. You just run. This is your show.
No, but my crew chief has always said, he said, winning fixes everything.
Yeah.
And he's been right about that. We've been through a lot of ups and downs with that team. And, you know, he's right. Winning fixes everything. Because, like I said, we went through a lot of adversity in the last, really after 2023, when I had a major wreck at the end of 2023. I had gotten a massive head injury, and it completely changed my life. And, you know, it was the first time I've really, like, I would say been injured in my life, you know, truly injured, where there was something affecting me in my everyday life. And, you know, that was a huge setback. And, you know, I've had to relearn stuff and you know, relearn stuff on the racetrack, which is terrifying. But, you know, there were things that, you know, that were second nature to me that all of a sudden I'm, like, struggling with. And, you know, we go back and, you know, after that, we had a whole plethora of races that just went every sorts of ways wrong. I mean, like, if there was something that could fall off the car, it would fall off the car, or we'd blow an engine, or we'd blow this, or we'd get wrecked, or whatever. So, you know, the last 2 years leading up to this past win have just been, man, just hellacious.
All right, let's talk about the win. Just tell about that race. Give me a little bit of the play-by-play, how it came about.
Well, that was why I was getting into the adversity, because like I said, everything had gone wrong up to this point. And, you know, I'd gotten to a point where, you know, we were just staying very even keel, and we kind of managed the expectations. It's just like, we just got to get past this bad luck, right? So we had had a race before this past one where we had unloaded the car super, super fast. Very good in practice all Friday. Show up Saturday, car's really good. We run the race. I run 98 laps and get wrecked with two to go, going for the lead. So very demoralizing, but we walked away and we're like, okay, we've got something to work with here.
Was that the best tire night?
Yes,
okay.
That was the best tire.
You'll get to that, yeah.
So we get, you know, past that, get the car fixed, and we get back to this most recent race, and man, everything just went, it just went well. The team executed. I feel like, you know, the people outside of the racetrack, like my dad and my sponsors and everyone, they executed. I was able to execute. We were all able to show up and do our jobs. And, you know, that's the first time in like 2 years that I've felt like, okay, now we're getting back on the train tracks here. And we're going in the right direction, because everything that we did in that race, we did it correctly. We focused on ourselves, and we showed up and executed. And it was we basically took the lead with 25 to go, and after that it was, you know, no competition from then on.
1-on-1 with Greg Pogue, Jackson Boone, the guest this morning at Roy's Meat Service. Go back to that Bass Tire Race. I was at the race. Coach Jeff Fisher, of course, and with the Cats, and then John Dwyer. We all did a little excursion there, thanks to Roy and Jeff Roy and everybody. But you had the better car. Talk about the things you can't control.
Sure.
I mean, because you were I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. I'm going, put his ass in the wall. Get him out of the – just tap him out of the way, right? You could have won that race and been the bad guy doing it, right?
Yeah, and the
how
thing
do you
is,
not? How do you not?
So there was a – that's a very, very good question. So there was a scenario 2 years ago that I was in the same situation, trying to get around a guy for the lead with this was with two to go. Go figure. And I pull up on his outside, and he just runs, just keeps running me up. And, you know, with two to go, you can't lift. So, sure enough, me and him get into the wall. Well, you know, the following week and weeks after, I mean, I was painted the villain. You know, I wrecked this guy, I right hooked him, all this. I mean, like, I was the most terrible person in the world. And, you know, I had done nothing but just hold my spot. And I get on the outside of this guy, and sure enough, you know, he had already come up a couple times, and I just, you know, I lifted and let it go, and I told my spotter, I said, you know, I'm going with whenever I get back to him, whether it's three laps to go or a lap to go, I'm like, I'm going and I'm not lifting. And sure enough, I got up on his outside, and, you know, I don't know if there was just miscommunication with spotting or what, but, yeah, he just came on up, and I just didn't lift.
And then on the restart, the damage was too
much. Oh, the car was – I took off on the restart, and sure enough, the front end was so smashed in, it was like a parachute on the front end. I mean, I think the front end picked up in the air.
How do you compartmentalize that and say, oh, that's just racing when you pour so much into it?
I think that's – well, it's kind of like you just said, you pour so much into it, and – I think you're so devastated at that point, you almost kind of have to lie to yourself for a little bit just to get yourself away from the racetrack.
I've been lying to myself for years.
Exactly, you can at least digest it a little bit better. It doesn't taste as stale.
Yeah.
But, man, it is so demoralizing. And like I said, after all that adversity we've gone through the past 2 years, I mean, to be that close to a win and then have that happen – man, I was in a bad place, and my dad was too. Man, I mean, we had to go to Florida right after. We were going on vacation, and we drove all night. And I think, man, that was a really long ride down to the beach.
I guess a lot of it was probably R-rated. You know, some of the conversation.
Absolutely, stuff that I cannot say on the air. This.
So what's coming up next? What's next?
So All-American 400. So we're going to try to roll
That's the big one.
Yeah, we're going to try to roll this momentum into that race. That'll be November 8th. So it'll be November 8th and 9th, but our race will be on the 8th, and it'll be Saturday night. So if anybody's wanting to come out and watch, that'll be the time to
do it. What – that is just a use your big old word, conglomerate. It's just a lot of different circuits –
sure.
It all coming together. The All-American's been around for a year, decades, right?
Yeah. So basically we've got – there's two different sanctioning bodies that will be joining together, which is ASA and then CRA. And you'll have just, a conglomerate of just cars from out west, cars from up north, cars from, you know, the Midwest. I mean, it's just – and it's cream of the crop. Everybody that's coming in, they're coming in to win. So – you know, we're going to have the best of the best there. And I know, like, last year the racing was insane. So I'm really not expecting anything less this year.
Jackson Boone with us. We'll take a break. Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville right here on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Our guest is Jackson Boone, Page Patriot. Jackson Boone. Page High School, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. By the way, let's tell what we were talking about during the break. I got to get this out there.
Okay.
This is what I love because that night we were out there at Bass Tire Night, and I guess it was the mini modifieds or one of the races before, you know, the feature that you were in. And a car was trying to pass a lapped car, and that lap car took the leader out. Leader had like half the track lead, right? And he took him out. I told my buddy, well, John Dwyer, I said, John, there's going to be a fight. They're watch this, and lo and behold, that's Saturday night at the track.
You know? I think now that you're talking about it more, I think it was a limited late model class.
Okay,
and those guys, man, I want to run one of those cars so bad because it is just a gladiator class, and that's how it is. Those guys are, you know, they pour every single dollar that they have into those cars to run that class, and the tempers flare. I mean, this is every Saturday night. But I think there was something going on. I know there had been a lot of talking and politicking between two or three different families, and something had happened to one of the leaders earlier in the race, and I guess somebody that was, affiliated with the leader who had gotten wrecked, he just waited on the guy that had wrecked him and just let him come around and destroyed him.
Why, though, there's so much conversation about the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to tear the Ryman Auditorium down.
Sure.
And we know the political hot potato that place has been. Why is fairgrounds, Nashville Fairgrounds, important to Nashville?
Well, the biggest thing is, and I think, like, you can start off by talking about how long it's been there, and it has been there for over 100 years. But this place has so much – what's the word I'm looking for? I guess so much significance – to so many people. And it's not even people that just live in Tennessee. I mean, you can go to other states and people will be like, yeah, I've been to a race at the fairgrounds before. Oh, yeah, that's that Nashville track, you know? And it's just, there's so much, you know, in the memory bank there with so many people. And that place has so many people's hearts. You know, it's just, it's a vessel for, you know, what people love to do. You know, whether there's, you know, people who play basketball or football or whatever, you know, they've got a place where they go and do it. And, you know, what's sad is there's so many racetracks around the country that are getting shut down right now, whether it's little kids' tracks or places like the fairgrounds. We just tore down a track in California that had been a staple of California, Irwindale Speedway, and that place had been there for forever. So it's terrifying to see that stuff. And, you know, you see places like the fairgrounds, and you think of all the NASCAR races and all the names that went through there.
Daryl Waltrip, Bobby,
cream of the crop,
Bobby Hamilton, Senior, yeah. Junior. I mean, how deep you want to go? Chad Chaffin.
We could talk for hours.
But, you know, I mean, Fluky and on and on.
It's insane. It's insane.
Then what did it mean in 2019 for you to win that championship? Because all of the names that we could just roll through here over the years, and you were the youngest to ever do it.
Sure. I don't think I knew what it meant. Probably until about a year or two later. Like I said, when we started going through some of that adversity, and I look back, and especially now after I've started going to these Hall of Fame dinners that they have, you don't realize the significance of this place, like what I was just talking about. And it was weird. Like, I think I went to a Hall of Fame dinner on, like, a Monday or Tuesday night. And I think that's when it first hit me. And this was, like, 2 or 3 years after I won the championship. It finally sunk in, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I won a significant title at this track, and my name's always going to be in that book.
Look, that's the premier class.
It's always going to be in that book.
Right.
And you look at all the names that are in that book that came before mine, and I'm like, holy crap. I mean, this is kind of a big deal. And, you know, I don't think I realized it until, probably 2 or 3 years later that this is like, you know, when I die one day, my name's always still going to be in that book.
Jackson Boone with us, 101 show here, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Come on by. And but is it now the goal different? Because you don't run enough there. You got, because you just told me you have two cars, one local, one touring.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the goal always stays the same, and that's to win. Like anything that we do, whether I race go-karts or I'm racing a NASCAR, like, we want to win. But I think we've had to change up our goals so much in the last 2 years with the sponsorship issues. And we just have been focusing on biting off bite-sized pieces at a time. And, you know, it's kind of like, if we can't run for a championship, you know, with our funding, then what we are going to do is run to win the next three races. The ones that we're committed to and the ones that, you know, we're trying to put, you know, together right now. So I think, you know, right now our goal is to basically put together enough sponsorship to run next year for a championship. And, you know, whether that be at the fairgrounds or touring, I would prefer to be at the fairgrounds. You know, that's where we're keeping our goals, is just to win and to keep on winning. You know, that's what we want to do. And, you know, my dad, obviously, you know, with him playing at Trevecca, I mean, you know his track record. It's everything is about winning.
All-American baseball. That's how I met your dad, Clay Boone.
Yeah.
I do a show on Saturdays called University Showcase when prep football stops.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Greg Ruff booked your dad, former All-American at Trevecca, and had him on. And then, I don't know, it just went from there. And then out here with Roy's Meat Service and everything. Are you getting married?
I am.
Was that what I mean?
Under 30 days. Yes.
Under 30 days. What did, like, you look at how many hours, minutes?
This ties into racing. I joke around. I always tell people.
What's her name?
Della. Della Grace Ford. And
okay.
It will be Della Grace Boone here soon. But I always tell people, my running joke is, here as of recent, we almost got a divorce before we even got married, because We had scheduled all these races and everything this year, and like I said, we had very limited sponsorships, so the ones that we have to run, we have to run. And what did I do? Jackson, in his infinite wisdom, scheduled a race on our wedding date, and I didn't realize it because we had put our wedding date. I told Della, I said, you know, she asked me, she said, what dates do we want to put the wedding on? And I said, okay, we can do this, this, and this. Well, I didn't even look at the fairground schedule. And sure enough, I said, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, the All-American is always in the first weekend of November, last weekend of October. I'm like, I'm not even worried about that. So whatever, we schedule it. And go figure, we scheduled it on the weekend of the All-American 400. And I figured that out probably a couple months ago when we had a rain out. And it, I went on their website to look for more races. And sure enough, that popped up. My heart dropped. And,
well, I dare say they're not going to change the dates of the All-American 400.
No, not for Jackson Boone's
so,
wedding.
So yeah. What is the date now?
So we have now moved the Jackson Boone wedding date to November 15th, so which is the weekend after the
okay.
All-American. So my I have to give a shout-out to my fiance, who is a good sport about what, it.
Yeah, tell me about her.
Man, she's awesome. I met her 4 years ago, and She's very quiet, like pretty laid back, and she just goes with the flow, man. She just goes with the flow. She knows I'm a crazy racer redneck, so she lets me do whatever I want and cheers me on.
Well, then she knows what she's getting into.
She
right?
does,
okay.
And she's never been the type to ever, you know, tell me, you know, oh, you're going to the track this weekend. Why can't you just stay home? You know, she's always like, okay, good luck, go do what you got to do. So
that sounds like I've been married 37 years because we get along fine. We never see each other.
Yeah.
we get along great.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's that valuable space, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, no, she's a great sport.
Let's take a break. More with Jackson Boone when we come up. There's some things I want to ask you to relive that may be a little tough here in a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But certainly with that. 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb. It's Roy's Meat Service right here on Nashville 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
It's One-on-One with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. You come in and you can... Jackson Boone's our guest. There's all the RMS, all the... Winner circle. There's some nice RB JBR caps there. You got your hood of your car out front.
Yeah.
And I saw another hood of a car. Is there another hood of another car
there is.
Out
There's
here?
There's another competitor's hood out there that we have had a run-in with in the past.
Is that the race we were talking about that you tried to pass him?
It sure is, yeah. I wonder if it's the hood from that race. I wonder if it is. But
how does that show up here?
I don't know.
Jackson?
I don't know, man. I don't know. My own sponsor, the home territory, man.
That's a work. You know that is. That didn't get there by accident, right?
Sure. Oh, absolutely not. It got brought up here. It got brought up here for some reason. So I don't know.
Rivalries are good.
It's healthy.
The 2019 track champion in the Pro Late Models, the youngest to do it in the premier division at the track. 2023 Snowball Derby. What do you remember of that race?
Well, I think the probably the good part is I don't remember much.
Right.
I can remember getting behind. So I started the race.
Right, let's go back. Let's back it up. Tell people what the Snowball Derby is.
So,
it's in Pensacola mid-December.
Yeah.
And you get drivers from everywhere, right?
I was going to say, this is the Super Bowl of short track racing. It is the Super Bowl of what we do.
Right.
There are usually, I would say, more than a handful of NASCAR Cup Series drivers and Xfinity drivers that come and run this race. And they want to win this race to put this trophy beside all of their NASCAR trophies because it just has as much significance, if not more significance, than their NASCAR trophies do. And basically, we start out this weekend really promising. We had had a really good year. We had finally gotten our super late model program, you know, in really, really good shape with Fathead and we showed up, we executed, everybody did their jobs, and sure enough, I had gotten we'd started the race. I think we had run about 35 laps, and I'd gotten passed by a couple guys. I think we had started out with a little bit more air pressure in the tires than we probably should have, so just trying to ride, get to our first pit stop so we can make some adjustments. And sure enough, I get passed by one guy, and I remember chasing him down. Well, the guy that passed me was William Byron, who runs in the Cup Series. So I remember thinking, okay, if I can shorten my corners up a little bit, I can get back to him. So last thing I can remember is literally chasing him back down. And I think that was about two laps before it ever happened. And basically they said I had gotten clipped by Eric Jones, who's also a NASCAR guy, who's right behind me. And I was in the NASCAR Cup Series sandwich there. And I got clipped going into turn one. And it doesn't appear that I even look like I hit the brakes. Like I said, I can't tell you. I really don't remember. But I basically got bobbled going into the corner. And basically, you know, the back end of the car came up. And as soon as it set back down, the whole car, you know, went from sliding to gripped up. And it just took off and jackknifed right into the wall and knocked me out.
I read that you had never been knocked out.
I had never known what it was like to be knocked out. But, man, I mean, it was.
How long were you out?
I think I was probably out for, I would say, a minute. No more than a minute, 2 minutes, something like that. I can faintly remember everyone coming over. There's so many people around the car. There's a dude in there, you know, he's got his hands in there holding my neck and holding my head. And he actually works at the fairgrounds. He's one of the safety officials there, and I'm always thankful for him because he was one of the first people over there. And he had been, I guess, working there for that weekend as a one-off. And he knew who I was. I knew who he was. And he was one of the first people over there, man, holding my head up and checking on me. And I remember everybody screaming and yelling, you know, Jackson, you know, who's the president of the United States? How many quarters make a dollar? I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at right now, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know who the president is, nothing. So I remember, you know, there's smoke all in the car. And, you know, for those of you out there who have watched, you know, this is a little bit of an inappropriate example, but for those of you who watched that 70s show, when they have the, I guess the times when they have smoked and they are, you know, under the influence, there's a little bit of a fog around the screen that you can see. That is literally what I saw. I mean, it was like there was a fog around where my vision was, and it was so surreal. I mean, it was like I was in a movie. It was the weirdest thing ever. But, you know, I think I definitely skip portions of that day in my memory just because I literally can't recall them. So I think part of that's a good thing because, you know, a lot of racers will tell you when they have a really bad wreck, the one thing that they really hate remembering is all the sheet metal grinding and the metal crunching and all that. They said that's like the worst part. So I can't remember that part, which is good.
And the days, weeks, months after that, it took a minute, didn't it?
Yeah, it was terrifying. That's the first time in my life where I have, like, genuinely been terrified. And I genuinely did not feel like I had control over some things that were going on in my life. And I went to work the next week like an idiot because we were behind and we had a bunch of stuff that needed to get done. And I remember just, like, I would go in there and work, and then I may go to the bathroom and lay on the bathroom floor for 30 minutes until I threw up. And then I'd go back to work, and then, you know, heaven forbid, I bent down to grab something, anything that was under my waistline. I mean, as soon as I did that, I mean, it was like I'd just get sick. And I kept doing weird things. It was almost like I was, I'd almost say, like, dyslexic in a way. It was really weird. Like, if you had told me that, let's say we went to the racetrack and there's a green and red car down in turn one. You said that there's a green and red car down the pits in turn one. I'd be like, okay, so there's a red and blue car down the pits in turn two. And you'd be like, I just told you 5 minutes ago that there was such and such. Mm-hmm. And it's like I would just twist it really quick. And I'd say the first time I really got scared when something like that happened is I was at work. And I picked up all these wrenches that I was using to work on somebody's car. And I just took them to the bathroom and set them on the urinal. And, like, I had a... I went back to the shop, and then I start looking for the wrenches for 30 minutes. And there was a guy there, you know, who I work with. He's like, why are all your wrenches in the bathroom? And I'm like, it hit me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, what am I doing? Like, what's going on? And I genuinely, in my conscious mind, did it and didn't even realize that I had done it. And I, like, weird stuff. I mean, you know, imagine just taking a set of wrenches and just randomly taking them to the bathroom.
The first time you return to the car.
Yeah.
And then you return subsequently after that. Talk about that, because it had to be a process, right?
Yeah, and we were going through a lot of pains, you know, with, like I said, adversity with racing. So, like, you know, there for a while, I couldn't tell if it was me or the car or just bad luck or what. Right. But, yeah, I got in the first race. And everything went okay. We ended up having a parts failure, go figure. We were leading the race and had a parts failure. And so we get through that. We move on. And the rest of that year was just absolutely awful. I mean, there was not one race that I could, like, walk away from and be like, okay, that was a good race. And there was things. It was almost like I couldn't. I told my dad this after one race. I almost felt like I couldn't focus my eyes. I'm one of those people that, like, when I get to the corner, I like to see the whole corner. Talking about on the racetrack, when I get to the corner, I like to see the whole corner, kind of out of my peripheral vision, and I just aim the car to a certain point, and that's how you get through the corner. You just aim the car, and then you do with your feet and with your arms what you need to do to get the car there. So I couldn't do that. It was almost like I couldn't. There was some kind of focusing issue where it's like I couldn't get myself to focus. It was really, really, really weird.
At what moment did you feel totally comfortable again?
Oh, man, it probably took, I mean, it's, honestly, it's taken almost back up to this year to get, I would say the first time I've, like, genuinely felt comfortable again is we went down to Pensacola with Fecho Motorsports, and I got to thank them. They're so grateful, you know, I'm so grateful that they let me get in their car this year. They put me in a car when I didn't have any funding. And we went down to Pensacola, and I got back in a Super for the first time in Pensacola, probably since then. And that was the first time I've, like, gotten out of the car and ran really good times, really consistently, and been like, oh, okay, all right, I can still do this. Like, it's still there. And it finally felt like some small things were clicking again. And, you know, now you see this year we've had some decent success, and the speed's been there. So, you know, I know it hasn't been me or my meat up here in my head that's, you know, messed up any of the, I guess, things that have happened.
Except for scheduling
your wedding on the All-American weekend. So, yeah,
I got that.
We'll blame that one on the concussion. It's a late deal. Late concussion injury. I about got another concussion because of that.
One other thing before we take this last break. You, in coaching and mentoring, you have had a lot of people take you under wing now. I saw where a regular down at Montgomery Motor Speedway, Stephen Chun, you're working with him. How important is that to pay it forward?
Oh, man. Well,
and why do you want to do that?
Well, I had a select few people that helped me when I started doing this. And, like, stock car racing in general is very cutthroat, but stock car racing, late model racing is like, oh, my gosh, it'll just chew you up and spit you out. So the people that helped me through, you know, my paying my dues days, I will forever be grateful for those people. And, you know, I always see the people who are out there struggling, who are new. You know, you can see it in them. It's like if they just keep doing this, eventually good things are going to happen to them. But you see them go through all these horrible, horrible things that happen when you start, because that's what you sign up for. And it's just – it's – I guess my whole thing is, like, I knew there were people that had my back when I went through that, so I want to be able to, pay it forward and go out there and help people who are, you know, going through that same thing that I did. I guess the beginner's luck, per se. Beginner's bad luck with racing, so – it's been a cool opportunity to be able to do that.
Jackson Boone, our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pogue here at Roy's Meat Service, presented by Freeman Bell. We'll be back and wrap it up with Jackson right after this on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
It's One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Our guest, Jackson Boone, the 2019 Pro Late Model, the youngest to ever be crowned champion at Fairgrounds. Got anybody you want to plug over there? What plug your? You've got a real job also on top of this racing thing, right? Tell me about your business.
So I actually work at a powder coating business out in Murfreesboro right now. It's Extreme Coatings and Restorations, but yeah, do a little bit of powder coating. That's that would be my outside life.
Okay. There you go.
All right. This is I got a whole list here.
Go ahead.
I'll go through them real quick. the obvious being Roy Meat Service. Huge shout out to Jeff and Christy and their whole family for letting us come here and obviously do the radio show. But just for them in general, having a homely atmosphere and providing, you know, serving the East Nashville community since, golly, I can't even tell you when. They've been around for so long. So Ware Energy, you know, they've been a huge partner of ours. Victory Energy, ATP, which is Arthur the Plumber. Music City Home and Commercial Improvement, Tony Watson. He's been a huge help this year. Jocelyn Sun Signs, obviously Bobby Jocelyn. Everybody knows him in the Nashville area. Michael Waltrip Brewing, Nashville Cats, obviously. We appreciate them being on. And last but not least would be my uncle's farm maintenance business, Randy Warren. He just recently came on this last race, and we put his little sticker on the car, and sure enough, we won. So I told him, I guess we can't take your sticker off the car now. So he's locked in until we lose again, I guess. So
tell me about where did it begin? What do your earliest memories of, I guess I'm guessing, go-karts?
Yeah, so quarter midgets. My mom is – she was a nanny for these two – she was a nanny for the doctors that actually delivered me, you know, when I was born. And
it took two.
Yeah, and basically they – yeah. And basically they ran these little quarter midgets, or the son did. And sure enough, they invited us out one day, and I fell in love with it. Obviously, you know, I thought all these colorful cars going around in circles was the coolest thing ever when I was 4 or 5 years old. And then, you know, the second biggest mistake my dad ever made was taking me out to the fairgrounds. And, you know, once again, I was little, and watching all the cars go around under the lights, I mean, that was like the craziest thing to me. It's all loud, and it smells crazy, and there's people screaming and yelling. I was like, this is insane. I mean, this is so cool. And ever since then, man, I mean, it was like I gotten hooked on drugs. I mean, it was just something I could never get off of, and I've never been able to shake it.
When did you realize that you had the aptitude for it?
Honestly, that's a good question. I started racing probably when I was like 7 or 8, and, you know, I probably got to the point, honestly, probably not till I was 9, 10, maybe even 11, where I started winning consistently, where I was like, okay, I'm actually kind of decent at this. Like, you know, there's other kids that are my age or older that I'm racing against, and I'm able to beat them. So, obviously, I'm not terrible at it. But then I would say when I got to probably the age of like 15 or so, we were competing for national championships and quarter midgets and, you know, looking to move up. And that's when I finally, like, figured out. I was like, all right, I can do this. Like, I want to do this, and I see kids my age doing this, and I was like, I know.
But your high school days at Page High School were not like a lot of your classmates,
sure,
right?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah, very untraditional, for sure. You know, I would say a lot of Friday nights were not spent at the football games. You know, they were me at the racetrack practicing. So, and you know, there were times where I would leave school for 2 or 3 days because we were going to a big race. So,
how do you practice now?
If I'm practicing while I'm outside the track, I have a program called iRacing, which is a simulator, an online simulator that you pay for. And, you know, you buy steering wheel, shifter, race seat, everything. But, you know, actual practicing consists of us showing up to the racetrack. We'll have an allotted, you know, time, space, whether it's, you know, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. or whatever the case may be. unload the car, and we make as many runs as we want to make. You know, usually 5 to 10 lap spurts, and just kind of see what adjustments we like best, whether it's a shock adjustment or a tire adjustment or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's kind of how we do it. And then, you know, obviously we show up race day with whatever we like best.
How do you know you have a good car?
That's a good question. So usually when I know I've got a good car, I know I can run about 10 laps consecutively and the times don't fall off very much. You know, if you run about 10 laps and your times are falling off, you know, I would say 4 or 5 tenths of a second, your car is actually really not that good. And what's crazy is, like, sometimes you can't even blink that fast. But, you know, when you are running 10 laps, and let's say I go out there and I start running 1930s on lap one, and by the time I get to lap, we'll say 10 or 15, I'm still running 1940s or 1950s, and the car is not sliding through the corner or sliding up off the corner. I'm not yanking the wheel in the middle of the corner. I know it's a good car.
How much can you control with your ability in a car that's not up to par necessarily?
You can use yourself as there's tools you can use. So, you know, that's one thing that you have to teach yourself, especially that's where experience beats a lot of these people that are new, is you get in a race and you've got one tool in the car that you can actually adjust, and that's brake bias. And brake bias being, it's a little knob, you know, you turn left or right, and it basically gives more pressure to the front brakes or more pressure to the rear brakes. Well, that can tighten up or loosen up the car on entry to the corner. So there's one thing you can adjust. The other things are all on the racetrack. So you adjust where you use your brakes. You can adjust where you let off the throttle. You can adjust how hard you get on the throttle, where your line is, you know, where you're entering the corner. There's so many different things, and I think that's what experience has helped me with the most, is figuring out how to use what you're presented with. Because, I mean, once you get in a 100-lap race, you know, you're not coming in the pits. It's all on you, and what you have is what you have.
I read got a story I printed off here, the quote from you. It's at an end of a longer quote. I'm too immersed in racing and obsessed with it to give it up.
Absolutely.
End quote. Is that where you are?
Yeah, and it's funny you brought that up, because, you know, once again, I know I've harped on this the whole time, but all the adversity we've gone through the last 2 years, I think I've had, golly, I've probably had 10 different opportunities to just quit, and there's been so many races where we've just hit rock bottom. We've hit a new rock bottom after a race, and I just asked my dad, I'm like, why are we freaking doing this, man? I mean, we are just torturing ourselves at this point, and it's like,
But your last race out, you won.
Yeah, I left the track after one race this year, and I told him, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I was like, I'm done. I said, we'll run the next race. And then I said, after that, I said, I'm done. I said, because I'm letting everybody down around me. And I said, we keep having bad luck. And it's just – but then 2 or 3 days later, I'm watching highlights again of different races. And I'm like, I can't live without this. Like, this is – this is all I know. This is what keeps my heart going. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not quitting this, man.
How old
are
you?
25.
You're a pup.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I still got time left. But I think the biggest thing is that I can't quit. Even if I told myself I was going to quit, I couldn't let myself quit. And we've got way too much sweat equity into it now and blood, sweat, and tears to quit. But it's you know, my dad, he's obsessed with it, and I'm obsessed with it. And I think we're obsessed with the idea of winning. And it's been, you know, like we said earlier, winning fixes everything. So you have all these bad things that happen, and then you get a little taste of, like, something that happened, you know, a couple weekends ago. It's like, oh, my gosh, like, I can't quit doing this. There's no way. And even if I had 15 bad races in a row, I know that I would be very discouraged, but I know I wouldn't quit.
You know what? Next time you ding up one of your hoods,
yeah,
you need to take it over to that guy's sponsor and leave it. It is whatever business sponsors him, take it to him.
All right. That's actually not a bad idea. I like that. Chess, not checkers, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Jackson, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right. Jax Boone been our guest. 101 with Greg Pogue. Christian Skelton back in the studio. Thank you. Great job this morning as well. Hey, if you want to bop on over to 102.5 The Game, LSU and Vanderbilt. Andrew Allegretta, Norma Jordan, Kevin Ingram, they're about ready to kick off over there as well. Everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend.